energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined tonight, December 1st, 2008, by Henry Johnson. He's the marketing director of TWM Technology Incorporated. They're located in Michigan near GE and the Auto Giants. They've come up with a device they call an electromagnetic energy motor, invented primarily by Tim Wheeler. The patent-pending novel motor design sips power from six motorcycle batteries while also recharging them. While the present prototype is flirting at around 100% efficiency, they expect that the next prototype they're working on, based on some things they've seen on the present prototype, will get between 500 and 1,000% efficiency. They think that excess energy could be coming from the permanent magnets. They've been in discussion with the U.S. government for various military uses. The number and scope of applications of this technology are mind-boggling, a multi-trillion dollar potential. And this technology, more than most that we talk about on this program on a weekly basis, comes very close to fulfilling this imagine statement that we have at the beginning of the show. Imagine a world in which you could drive without ever having to stop for fuel, where every home has its own power generator, where each appliance has its own generator, doesn't have to be plugged in, a laptop that doesn't have to be recharged, a cell phone that doesn't have to be recharged. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Possibly. Well, we'll see as they roll out their additional prototypes and continue to develop this technology, but we're very honored to have this breaking story. This story just broke this last week in a Michigan newspaper. Again, Henry, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's pleasure to be on the air.
You're certainly welcome. Let's talk first just a little bit about this technology and in terms of what makes it different from other motors that are out there in the marketplace already.
Well, primarily, this motor uses both sides of the electromagnetic field of a magnet. That's the primary issue. It is so simple. It has one moving part, the rotors and the shaft, and there are in the most basic motor that we have has three rotors and two stators, and in each rotor there are two permanent magnets, and in the two stators there are five or any number of odd number of electromagnets, and that's the secret that makes it move and develop such tremendous RPM and horsepower or torque.
There's a couple of things that are quite unusual about your design. Let's talk for a second about the speed that you're able to achieve and why that's the case.
Okay. Our motor actually generates tremendous RPMs. Our small prototype motor, one of them goes about 10,000 RPMs. We have one that goes at least 60,000 RPMs.
How does that, for the layperson who's not familiar with speeds of motors, how does it compare to other motors on the market?
Well, a normal electric motor, if it gets over 5,000 RPMs, the armature starts to blow apart. In the gasoline engine, if you get anywhere near 5,000 RPMs, the entire engine will blow apart. This motor, being one-directional, unlike a piston engine that has to keep changing directions going back and forth, this motor just goes in one direction, and it's circular, one moving part. The rest of it is very basic, and the stators are heavy. That's where the bearings are in that holds the shaft, and that's very close to the rotors, so there's very little friction or very little movement other than the turning of the shaft.
You're also talking about as this thing gets up to a certain speed, it actually goes off of its bearings and has kind of a magnetic bearing effect where basically the thing just floating there without any metal against metal at all.
I think that's one of the main reasons why it generates a very little or no heat. The axle shaft is levitating away from the bearings. The action of the magnetic, the magnets, the permanent magnets and the electromagnets in the circular motion just levitates the axle shaft away from the bearings and actually limits any friction that's actually caused. It's all in open air. And that's similar to what the rotors are. The rotors are like a quarter inch from the stators or the electromagnets. And I guess we didn't really talk about that. The electromagnets, there are five of them in each stator. And the two stators obviously have one rotor in between them, and then there's one rotor on each side of the other side of the stator. And as the permanent magnet comes face to face with the electromagnet, we switch polarity and make it south-south, which repels that permanent magnet in the rotor, and it has to go one way or the other. Well, the rotor of the other permanent magnet in the rotor is directly opposite, and it has already been repelled by the electromagnet that it just left, and is being attracted by the new magnet that's bringing it. And this squashing effect of the permanent magnet by the two electromagnets on each side of the rotor in the center just develops tremendous RPMs and tremendous torque.
I might mention for those that are listening, either whether live or in the archives, that you can go to freeenergynow.net and go to today's date, December 1st, 2008, and there's a link to a page that we're creating at pezwiki.com about this technology. The company doesn't have an official website yet. They're working on that. But we've posted a diagram, a sketch that Henry pulled together for us. So if you want to pull that up, it might help you visualize what's going on here. We're also, our graphic artist as we speak is working on a rendition of this. It'll be a little easier to visualize because this one's in two dimensions just on a side view. He'll do a three-dimensional kind of at an angle so you get a little better view of what's going on here. But one of the things is, as I've looked at this sketch, these magnets are embedded in plastic rotors, and there's only two magnets. And so what happens is you're able to have these magnets opposite each other in this plastic rotor, and that enables you to go at very fast speeds because basically it's held tightly in place, and they're not going to go flying out unless you breach the plastic somehow, and that's not going to be happening until you get up into super high speeds in excess of 100,000 RPM, if even that. And so that's one of the reasons that this thing can go so fast is because of the structural integrity that allows it to. But I asked you the question, Henry, earlier about why not have, instead of just two magnets, why not go with four or six?
Well, we've tried that in some of our prototypes to put four in there, and we just couldn't get the activity from the magnets, whether there are eddy currents or we don't know what causes it. But we were in our prototype, we were working with a 3-inch rotor. Now, I guess one of the things that we didn't mention before, the entire motor is made of plastic. This outer shell, the stators are solid plastic. We drill 5 holes in them and put the electromagnets in them. The stators in the larger motor that we're building right now are about 8 inches thick, and the rotors are 2 inches thick, and those are made of a special plastic, which is extremely strong and has metal characteristics. But we found that with a number of plastics and nylons that we tried to use, that they generate static electricity, and that upsets our magnetic field.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the core of their electromagnetic is still the pig iron.
Yes. The cores are 8 inches long, and they go entirely through the stator so that they face the outside rotor as well as the inside rotor. And they are made of very thin pig iron, and then we wrap them with wire, coated wire, to make the electromagnet. And then on top of that, we have another winding of additional wire, and we can control the amount of electric that is generated by the switching of the polarity in the electromagnets to generate electricity that comes out of the motor, which is a completely separate circuit from anything that's in the motor. And it, because of the flux in the changing of the polarity, is much like the transformer that you have on the pole near your house. That big gray can up on the pole has 2 windings in there. It'll bring like 4,800 volts into that winding, and they reduce the power to 220 that comes into your house. And this is much like what's happening here. We're just changing polarity in the electromagnet, and that excites the electrons in the outer wrappings of or windings of the copper wire, and that comes out as a separate circuit and goes back into capacitors that store the electric and then flash it back into the batteries as it runs.
When we come back from break, I'd like to talk a little bit more about that capacitor. That's quite similar to what John Bedini is doing in his systems. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. A lot of people have replicated his technology and have played around with that, including myself. So we'll talk a little bit more about how this thing's working, and then we can talk about where you're at in the process of rolling this thing out and some of the business relationships you're working with and where this thing's going to go.
Very good.
Will you be ready when gas prices go back up? Convert your vehicle to a hydrogen boost hybrid. Get 15 to 25% improved gas mileage guaranteed or your money back. And cleaner emissions. Hydrogen Boost has 8 years of experience in hydrogen injection and mileage enhancement and a money back satisfaction guarantee. Visit www.hydrogen-boost.com or call 518-480-4026. Hydrogen Boost, 518-480-4026 or visit hydrogen-boost.com.
Energy. Free energy. Now!
Sterling Allen here, coming back at you. The freeenergynow.net radio show. You can go there and link to a page we're developing over at pezwiki.com about this new motor design that could not only be super efficient, but could actually be a generating source so that it is harnessing some kind of environmental energy to provide primary energy generation for cars, houses, appliances, etc. We're talking with Henry Johnson, and we were in our last segment talking about this design and how it's configured. And I'd like to just kind of start this next segment by painting a visual picture of, based on the sketch that he sent me this evening, that we have posted on that page we're building. You can get, again, a link from freeenergynow.net. You can find that image and follow along with us. You have three rotors in the most simple design. They're about 2 inches thick, made out of plastic, embedded. Each rotor has two permanent magnets in it, opposite each other. And then between those three rotors, you have a stator set. These are non-moving electromagnets, an odd number where you have an even number of magnets in the rotor. You have an odd number of electromagnets, and in this case, you say five electromagnets in a circular around the perimeter where they'll interact with the magnets. And not only are they electromagnets, but they actually switch polarities. So rather than on-off, they're going north-south, north-south. So as they're south, they're pulling in the north end of the magnet, and then as the magnet passes by, it goes to north, so it repels it out. Meanwhile, on the other end of the magnet, you have the other rotor who is seeing the opposite field and is off sync from the first rotor so that it is being pulled when the other one is being pushed, etc., so that you get, you actually in the middle rotor has double action from two stators on either side. Now on the far right-hand side, you have the last rotor, which is seeing just one electromagnet. But a number of things going on here that are quite unconventional. And we were starting to talk in the last segment about capacitors being involved in gathering the back EMF that comes off. As you collapse this field, as you turn on the electromagnet, and then when you reverse it, basically turning it off, you have this back EMF that in a traditional motor actually fights against the movement of the motor. And there's a number of really clever approaches John Bedini uses, for example, to gather that back EMF so it's not fighting against you. Millennial Motors is another company that's got a really clever way of gathering that back EMF into capacitors. In this case, it's kind of a merger between the Millennial Motors and the Bedini motor technology of he's gathering the back EMF into capacitors, but rather than dumping it into the next cycle, which is what Millennial Motors does, they're gathering the capacitors being dumped into the battery, which is similar to what John Bedini's doing without the capacitors. And then the batteries are what is powering the electromagnet in each cycle. And they've seen some interesting effects where in some cases it appears that they're actually surpassing the 100% mark. In other words, this whole setup is harnessing some kind of environmental force, whether it's coming from the magnets. I mean, when you slap a magnet up on a fridge, it stays there, even though it's not performing work according to science because it's not moving. And you could hang a lot of stuff from that magnet on the fridge. Who doesn't have a magnet on the fridge that's hanging something or other? No, it's not moving, but there's something going on there. So these guys have turned it into torque energy. So, Henry, maybe you can further elaborate on this description, this visual image that we're portraying of this.
Sir, I think one of the things that would help expand the visual image is that the motor that we're currently developing, or if the motor is developed, but the motor that we're building right now is 15 inches in diameter. The rotors are 12 inches in diameter, and the motor itself is about 30 inches long, and there's a nose cone where the controlling device that times the switching of the electromagnets, switching the polarity of the electromagnets, gives another 8 inches on there. So it may be somewhere around 40 inches long, with the shaft sticking out the one end of the motor. Actually, we could have the shaft going out both ends of the motor. That would not affect it. We could run mechanical things off. So, for instance, it could be positioned between the back two wheels of a car and force the car. But anyway, the motor that we're developing or building right now is 15 inches by 40 inches, and that will generate in excess of 600 horsepower. So most trucks, most semi-trucks that are on the road will be around 500 horsepower, so this will be bigger than most semi-trucks. We're proposing to visit the U.S. Army Tank Command in Warren, Michigan, and hopefully they'll have a tank there that we can attach that motor to, and we can drive an Army tank around their test field for as long as they like. One of the big advantages of this motor is that as it generates electricity to recharge the motor, the motor will actually run until the battery physically wears out, or in other words, until it sulfates up enough that it won't operate anymore. And that's an area that our scientist and developer has done some thinking about and has some ideas on how to extend that life. But if you are in a battle with an Army tank and you're going across the desert, I don't think there are many people that want to take a 10,000-gallon fuel tank and catch up with that tank to fill it up before it runs empty out in the middle of a battlefield and can get picked off like a pigeon. So with this motor, this tank will run, theoretically, maybe for a year without getting new batteries. Or a helicopter. You put this motor in a helicopter, it'll run for until you get pilot fatigue or crew fatigue, and they have to ground just to take care of the people in there. In a unmanned aerial vehicle with a propeller, it could stay on station for perhaps 2 weeks or a month or two without having to come down. So it could wander in an area for as long as you'd like, and you don't need any forward landing fields for it. So you could bring it back and whenever you wanted to. And there's just a lot of fascinating things that could happen with this motor. But to get back to making a visual image of the motor, like I say, it's only 15 inches by 40 inches, which will fit in any semi-truck, and should power it from here to California and back without ever you buying any gasoline. And the motor itself, if a trucker bought this motor for $40,000 to put it in his truck, he could pay for it in 50 days by not buying fuel and the maintenance that he might have to do on his regular motor.
A 2 month return on investment, that's not bad.
No.
$40,000,
maybe we should charge $400,000. We're going to give him a couple of years to pay for it.
When we come back from the bottom of the hour break, we'll want to talk about where you're actually at in terms of some of the negotiations and discussions with various parties that have shown some interest in what you're doing here. How many prototypes you've built, what kind of testing you've done, third-party testing. Let's kind of get into some of that business end of things and some of the IP you filed for some patents. You've got approval on a patent. You haven't been issued a number or been awarded yet, but it's well on its way. Some of those types of issues, as well as hopefully some of the peacetime applications. I get a little nervous talking about all these military applications, picturing the military sequestering this technology so that only they can use it.
We certainly don't want that. There are tremendous civilian applications, but it's actually...
Yeah, but let's get into that more when we get back from the break.
Okay. Yeah, I do. And really, the peacetime applications are fabulous.
Hello? 521.
Free energy now!
Alan, coming back at you here. We've been talking with Henry Johnson from TWN Technologies Incorporated. They were featured in an article in Michigan called MLive.com, Everything Michigan newspaper. Had a story about them this last week, showing off a prototype at the of their electromagnetic energy Wednesday in Bay City. So we're honored to have them on this show. Apparently, they're just now starting to get some attention on this technology they've been working on for a while. Henry's actually a newcomer to the company. He's been with them for about a month and coming on board to do some marketing for the technology that Tim Wheeler is the primary inventor of this. As you look at the picture, it's got a really nice-looking motor. It's very clean, setup, powering a light bulb. And another developer, Todd Thorpe, was involved in some of the mechanical aspects of it, pictured there in that newspaper article. I want to congratulate you, Henry, on that coverage. That's positive coverage. And I have to read the caption that comes underneath this picture. It says, Tim Wheeler and Todd Thorpe display their electromagnetic motor that they say has virtually unlimited applications. Wheeler says the motor could be scaled up to power everything from automobiles to appliances, running for up to a year without being plugged in. That's quite a statement. And apparently the newspaper felt that it was worth running. Usually they'll stay away from things like that. I notice the mainstream press tends to shy away from such bombastic, if you want to say, claims. I want to talk a little bit at first here in this segment about in your existing prototyping that you've done, what is it that leads you to believe that you're going to be surpassing the 100% efficiency mark? In other words, you're harnessing some kind of environmental energy source, whether it's the magnet or some other thing, that enables this thing to just run and run and run, so you can run a semi-truck back and forth across the country without stopping for fuel.
Well, obviously, the secondary winding on the electromagnets can be increased, which will generate more electrical energy. And there are 10, in this particular motor, there will be 10 magnets in there, and each one is wired separately so that power is supplied to the electromagnets to change polarity, and the outer winding, so each magnet has four wires coming out of it. The outer winding will be free electric. It just is there because somebody is teasing the wires with changing polarity. And we can increase that winding and come out with tremendous power out of there. We can come out with more than 1,000 volts. That will be difficult to handle for the layman. You'll have to have some experience to do that.
So with that transformer effect, you're dumping that into the capacitor that's going back into the battery?
Right. And we could have wires coming off there. We can generate DC power or AC power off of there. And we could run a motor, or we could run the regular light bulb. Or, you know, you could have one of these in your basement and have a heat pump hooked to it and take the heat out of a coil that you might bury in your front yard, bring it into the house, and take the heat out of the front yard in the wintertime and put the heat back into the front yard in the summertime for air conditioning. The mechanical power of the motor could run the heat pump. It could run several other things in the house. We mentioned a little bit about the using a semi to drive it to California and back to Michigan several times in, on one set of batteries. One of the other great uses is the farm, the agricultural industry. The farm implement industry should really take attention to this, and we're working with a couple of the different manufacturers of farm equipment, but so far they have not been as acceptive to this kind of a new idea. Can you imagine putting a motor like this in a John Deere tractor and plowing your field for 6 months?
Putting a water pump out in the middle of the desert, and desalination plants for the oceanside. The number of applications are legion, of course. My question is, what in your existing prototype, not theoretical, not looking into the future, but in the present setup, the testing that you've run, why is it that you think that you can get over that 100% efficiency mark?
Well, we know how many windings we put on the electromagnets that we have. And those are 3-inch rotors. The stators in there are about, I believe they're 2 inches in length. So it's a very small electromagnet. In our bigger motor that we're building now, the stator is 8 inches long and 2 inches in diameter, and then we can add additional windings on there. And by making thinner plates in the electromagnet, we generate that much more electric power.
You're still talking in the future. I'm asking a question about, it seemed in an earlier conversation you'd mentioned that you had seen in some testing you've done some indication of surpassing the 100% mark. Did I not hear you correctly?
Well, yes. What I'm saying is that we know how many windings we put on the electromagnet when we built the prototype. And we can, in the new motor that we're building, we can double that amount of winding, secondary winding on the electromagnet. And another thing we've done, we've made the plates in the core much thinner. We're down to a 1/32 of an inch thickness in plates that we put in the core of the electromagnet. So we're making those thinner. We're putting more wire on the new ones, which will generate a lot more electricity.
If I was an investor looking at this, I would say, prove it to me, then I'll believe it.
Well, right now we have a tremendous opportunity in that we have over $12 million being proffered to us just to show them that it does what we say we can do. And we will do that in the next few months. So we're really not set up to take investors yet. We don't really... we're not that sophisticated. We will do that perhaps in the future, but currently we have so many opportunities, and getting the cash flow looks like it's going to be very easy for this company, in that we're proposing to put a motor in 516 helicopters and 10,000 Humvee trucks. We agree that we'd like to see this in the commercial market, in the residential market, in the desert uses or cell phone towers, places like that. We'd love to have it used there. But so far, the business community has been very shy about looking at this. The government has a number of programs where they solicit new ideas like this. And so those are ones that we're taking advantage of currently. And then there are two or three programs that give money out just to show them that we can make more power than we use.
So if somebody were to come and look at your existing prototype, what would they see? And we'll need to make this short because we've got to go to break again in about a minute and a half.
Well, essentially, it's just a plastic motor. It looks like any electric motor that you've ever looked at. It has a package of capacitors, and it has some transistors that feed the electric into the motor, but you won't know that it's a different kind of motor until you actually take it apart.
Okay. When we come back from break, again, let's get more into some of the questions that we talked about earlier, the issues of the intellectual property, the patents, where you're at in the process of rolling this out, and the number of prototypes that you've built up to this point.
Will you be ready when gas prices go back up? Convert your vehicle to a hydrogen boost hybrid. Get 15 to 25% improved gas mileage guaranteed or your money back. And cleaner emissions. Hydrogen Boost has 8 years of experience in hydrogen injection and mileage enhancement and a money back satisfaction guarantee. Visit www.hydrogen-boost.com or call 518-480-4026. Hydrogen Boost, 518-480-4026 or visit hydrogen-boost.com.
Sterling Allen coming back at you. We appreciate you joining us for this segment of this Free Energy Now radio show. We are talking with Henry Johnson. He's with TWM Technologies Incorporated. They have a very novel and revolutionary motor technology that uses a very unusual combination of electromagnets that not only turn on and off, but actually reverse polarity and magnets embedded in rotor that can spin as fast as 50,000 RPMs, 60,000 RPMs they've measured in one of their existing prototypes, a technology that appears that it could surpass the 100% efficiency mark many fold, 5 times, 10 times, so that you actually can have a self-looping system that could provide baseload power with a continuous power output, whether you're running a cell phone or a ship, a locomotive. You scale it just about as small as you want or as large as you want for continuous portable power. Very revolutionary technology. And one of the things I'd like to talk about briefly is what are your thoughts about maybe some of the threats you might face from some of the powers that be that might not welcome a technology that could make them obsolete?
Well, we do worry about that. We've heard horror stories of people being threatened by the powers that be when somebody comes along that changes things. Now, if this motor, or when this motor, I should say, takes over the auto industry, each automobile could have a EME motor, which probably would be something in the range of 12 inches by 24 inches, and it could be placed behind the back wheels, behind the back seat. You could use the existing motor area for additional luggage. This motor doesn't require a radiator, a fuel injection systems, or smog control, or a fuel tank. And what a tremendous use that is, advantage that is in an army tank where you got to take 500 gallons of fuel with you and somebody shoots the bullet. And so obviously we're not interested in developing army equipment, but we'd like to see more commercial use, much like a farm tractor that could plow a field for 2 or 3 months and never have to put fuel in it. And why John Deere isn't breaking our door down, I don't know. We've told them about it, and hopefully one of these days they'll call us. We're working with several others that are interested in, or that we feel should be interested in. The boating industry. Now, you could put this in a cruiser, maybe a 150-foot cruiser, put a couple of them in there. You'll take you anywhere in the world. You never have to worry about running out of gas. All you need is six or a dozen batteries and make it go.
Of course, along those lines, you also have to think about some terrorist that might put it in a drone, fly it anywhere in the world, and drop payload wherever they want.
We hadn't thought of that.
That may be why the government suppresses this stuff sometimes. I happen to be of the opinion that they're not that altruistic, but that certainly is a risk, a factor to consider in the advent of this new technology. It really does require a new social-political mindset of people of working together. Once you get rid of the need for oil, you also get rid of the scarcity mentality that drives in the oil, the wars and the conflicts that exist on the planet right now. So, it's a chicken and egg scenario. Do you get to change people first and then introduce the technology, or does the technology enable a changed society to emerge?
Why, I don't know. That's a complicated social question that I don't have the answers for. I do think that it could eliminate a lot of the wars around the planet and the egos that fly around the world, the handling of drilling for oil. We do our own oil drilling here in Michigan, and we hate to see that disrupted, but we'd rather have that happen than have this motor be accessible to all the people that can use it.
Well, look, I remember when the computers were first introduced and people were worried that all the people were going to be put out of work because of the computer, and of course that proved to be fallacious, and that computer really revolutionized and introduced a whole new economy, an increased standard of living for all kinds of people. And I would imagine that this would be the same thing. Even though one thing might be replaced, they're going to be able to switch from that job to this job, so to speak.
This motor will develop whole new industries. Like I mentioned, the heat pump idea for buildings, commercial buildings, shopping centers, and they would eliminate a huge portion of their overhead costs. The automotive industry, the trucking industry, semi-trucks that can go crisscross the country without actually trains. This motor can power a diesel-electric engine. Essentially, that's what it is. All we do is replace the diesel.
Yeah, let's talk for a second about the intellectual property. You filed for a patent, and what's the status on that?
We are at the point of patent pending. We have been approved. We have not received the number yet, but that's all on its way, and our patent attorney has assured us that we're protected in every way. And one of the things I didn't mention, this motor will also operate at super cold temperatures. We can super cool this motor and make it a super conductor. It would work great as a moon rover or as a Mars rover. It would give them unlimited power for many years because as a superconductor, where there's no atmosphere and it's very cold, this motor operates with almost no use of energy.
And primarily you think it's from the magnets?
Well, the cold causes the friction that electrons receive going through the wires. But when they're very cold, it makes the friction disappear in the wires, and therefore it'll do its own job, but it'll do it without any friction, and minimize the amount of power that it requires to use.
I should mention that a really excellent book, our interview we did 3 weeks ago with Gene Manning and Joel Garvin, co-authors of the book Breakthrough Power. There's a chapter in there about various theories and evidences for magnets serving as a power source, not just as a static thing you put on your fridge or something you have to interact with electromagnet and you get out less than what you put in. There's a lot of evidence for magnets being able to provide energy whether it's harnessing in some kind of zero-point energy or what, it can serve as a conduit for some kind of environmental force that comes into the system because of the arrangement of the magnets and how they're interacting, whether it's creating a vortex or what. A fascinating chapter. I'd highly recommend the entire book.
I'd like you to send that, to email me that book. I'd love to read it. The other thing, every kid has played with magnets and has played with the idea of pushing the magnet close to the other one and chasing it across the table, or putting it under the piece of paper and putting metal filings on top of the paper and seeing the actual magnetic field that operates from a magnet.
Have you done any third-party testing on this motor yet?
We really haven't, other than we've shown it to a number of people. We've had to restrict that until we had our patent in place. And we have shown it to several college professors who still don't believe us. And they think that we're doing something funny. As a matter of fact, the newspaper man that covered it thought maybe we had some packing around one of the batteries, and he thought maybe we had a mouse and a wheel underneath there that was generating all the power.
And you mentioned in the article that you've been doing some demonstrations recently.
Yes.
Some car people. If somebody were interested in coming and seeing a demonstration, would you allow that?
We'd love it. We like to put on demonstrations now, and we did that for the paper. We've done it for several other people, and we're proposing to do it to the U.S. Tank Command here in a couple of weeks, and we allow it. That's what we do. We wanted to give the information to get out.
When do you expect your next prototype to be completed?
Probably before the end of the year.
And that's the one that will be the real proof of the scenario, so to speak, in that it will be producing more energy than what it is consuming on the front end.
Yes, and we're totally confident that it'll do nothing less than what we expect. It'll generate like 600 horsepower. You can imagine your car. If you're lucky, if you got over 100.
How long before this is available in the market where people could go buy one?
It'll be probably spring before we're able to get to a point where we can make enough to make any difference.
And so by spring, you're expecting that these things might be available for purchase.
Yes.
How much beta testing, alpha and beta testing, do you plan on doing before releasing it?
We're so confident that it works that that alpha and beta testing will be minimal. We've done a lot of that with the prototypes, and we know what the reactions are.
What about certifications like UL listing and things like that?
We'd like to do that, and we've called the U.S., the United States Transportation Agency or Department, not MDOT, but USDOT, and the Department of Transportation, and they're taking a look at it, but they don't really know how to test it because it's totally different. It weighs like less than one-third of what a regular motor would weigh, and it doesn't have, like I say, it doesn't have a radiator.
I need to jump in here. We're out of time. Oh. I really appreciate you joining us, Henry. Let me mention again that you can read more about this. Go to PESWiki.com, PESWIKI, and type in TWM Technology. Also at freeenergynow.net, you can link December 1st.
You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's PESWIKI.com.